Translation: Sri Sukadev Goswami said, as soon as the Lord was born as the son of Maharaj Nabi, he manifested symptoms of the Supreme Lord's and marks from the bottom of his feet, like thunderbolt, etc. This one is equal to everyone and very peaceful. He could control his senses and his mind, and possessing opulence, he did not hanker for material enjoyment. Endowed with all these attributes, the son of Maharaj Nabi became more powerful day after day. Due to this, the citizens, learned Brahmas, demigods, and ministers want Vrishabhadev to be appointed ruler of the earth. Very important these days of cheap incarnations, it's very interesting to note the bodily symptoms found in an incarnation. From the very beginning of his birth, it was observed that Vrishabhadev's feet were marked with the transcendental signs. In addition to this, as the Lord began to grow, he became very prominent. He was equal to everyone. He did not favor one person and neglect another. An incarnation of God must have six opulences: wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, and renunciation. It is said that although Rishabhadev was endowed with all opulences, he was not at all attached to material enjoyment. He was self-controlled and therefore liked by everyone. Due to his super excellent qualities, everyone wanted him to rule the earth. An incarnation of God has to be accepted by experienced people and by the sentences described in the Shastras. An incarnation is not accepted in him by the adulation of foolish
people.
When the son of Maharaj Navi became visible, he evinced all the qualities described by the great poets, namely a well-built body with all the symptoms of the Godhead, prowess, strength, beauty, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. When the father, Maharaj Navi, saw all these qualities, thought his son to be the best of human beings or the supreme being. Therefore, he gave him the name Prishabha. Wherefore, to accept someone as God or incarnation of God, must observe the symptoms of God in his body. All the symptoms profound in the body of Maharaj Navi, his extraordinarily powerful son. His body was well structured and displayed all the transcendental qualities. He showed great influence and he could control his mind and senses. Consequently, his name, he was named Rishabha, which indicates he was the supreme living being. As I said, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, as soon as the Lord was born as the son of Maharaj Navi, manifest the symptoms of the Supreme Lord, such as marks from the bottom of his feet. This son was peopled to everyone and very peacefully. He could control the senses and mind. And possessing all opulence, he did not hanker for material enjoyment. Endowed with all these attributes, the son of Maharaj Navi became more powerful day after day. Due to this, the citizens, learned Brahmas, demigods, and ministers wanted Rishabhadeva to be appointed ruler of the earth. When the son of Maharaj Navi became visible, he evinced all the qualities described by the great poets, namely, well-built body with all the symptoms of Godhead, prowess, strength, beauty, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. When the father of Maharaj Navi saw all these qualities, he thought of his son to be the best of human beings or the supreme being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabha. So here we have a description of the Supreme Lord. As the previous chapter stated, the Lord appeared and said, I will come as your son. So therefore, Maharaj Navi got Rishabhadeva as his son. And of course, Navi was the king of the world, descended from Swayambhuvama. And Rishabhadeva was one of his sons, and he became very, very prominent. So he was naturally to be selected as the king. So, here the qualities of Rishabhadeva are described. Since he was also the Supreme Lord, he must have some very special qualities. So, of course, he was also playing the role of a king, so he did not have extraordinary features like a lion or a boar or a turtle, etc. So he looked like a human being. But in that form, he did manifest certain particular qualities which distinguished him. So one of these is to have these auspicious marks on the hands and the feet, etc. So like the flag and the thunderbolt and the lotus, etc. So these were some of the qualities. We see in the descriptions of other incarnations of the Lord, or Krishna, for instance, there's always mention of the auspicious symbols on his feet. For instance, in Vrindavan, when Akura came, then he saw the footprints of Krishna with the auspicious marks on the ground, and then he understood, oh, this is Krishna. So, this is one typical sign of the Supreme Lord, these auspicious marks on the feet and also on the hands. And they are described in detail in other places. So this is so with Rishabhadeva. He had particular features on the feet, which were auspicious. And we find even in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had auspicious marks on his feet as well. So that was one thing. Then the other, of course, is the appearance, the form of the body. So the form of the body was also very wonderful. His body was symmetrical and well built, etc. Perfect in shape, etc. And in terms of qualities, he displayed all wonderful qualities. So, of course, a superior human being also will have either a nice form of the body or a display of wonderful qualities as well. But in this case, the display of qualities and the appearance of Rishabhadeva were quite extraordinary, beyond the ordinary human being. So they gave him the name Rishabha, which means a superior person, an excellent person. So his name was befitting his wonderful qualities and form. So he was an outstanding person among all the different people available. So in this way, he established himself as a Supreme Lord. Of course, how do we know he's the Supreme Lord? The Lord himself came and said he will come. That's one thing. The other, of course, is that in the Bhagavatam itself, we have a list of all the different forms of the Lord which will appear in the day of Brahma. And Rishabhadeva is among those forms. We will see in the list in the first canto and in the second canto, Rishabhadeva's name appears. So this is a regular feature in the day of Brahma that Rishabhadeva will make his appearance and give blessings to people and teach. So by this we understand that he's an eternal form. So his qualities and his body are not material, though they may look material, just as Krishna may look material when we think he's a regular person. So Rishabhadeva also looks like a normal person, but he's not. He is actually a spiritual form, an eternal form of the Lord. So he was actually a very exceptional person. So there is no way in which we can describe the wonderful nature of the Supreme Lord. We have words to describe him, but words are always incomplete. They can convey a certain amount of the nature of the Supreme Lord, but not everything. So words are very limited. So when the people saw him, they actually understood, yes, this person is extraordinary. He is beyond compare. So that is why they gave him the name Rishabha. And they said he should be the ruler of the earth. So not only the people, but even the devatas, everyone agreed. So it was unanimous that everyone understood that this is a special appearance of the Supreme Lord. So the message we have to take from this, or the lesson we have to learn, is that we have to discern the forms of the Lord by the scripture. And as I said, they're already mentioned, the appearance of Rishabhadeva is mentioned in the scripture. Mother and father and his particular form and his particular activities, these are all mentioned. And according to that, we can, and the time also. So therefore, according to that, then we understand when and how to identify forms of the Lord. So in other words, forms of the Lord do not just whimsically appear throughout the day of Brahma. They appear at particular times, with particular forms, with particular names, with particular parents, with particular activities. Everything is actually spelled out very clearly. So we cannot simply decide so-and-so is an avatar of the Lord. The person has to conform to the scriptural descriptions and the particular time as well. And in this way, there's no confusion about who is Supreme Lord and who is not Supreme Lord. Now, of course, apart from that, then we have the actual manifestation of qualities, etc. And the people that see that Supreme Person, then they will begin to understand, yes, this is not a normal person of the material world. Some forms, of course, we understand are not of this world because they have extraordinary forms, like Narasimhadeva. But other forms are very human-like. So how do we distinguish them from other human beings? By their great qualities, their exceptional beauty, and their activities. And these should conform to scripture. So therefore, we can identify Rama by his particular qualities and his complexion, his activities, etc. If he doesn't do those activities, then he's not Rama. So we know, of course, the detail of Rama's activities are there in the Ramayana.
So if one wants to claim to be Rama, then he should have similar types of activities, like crossing over the bridge of Lanka and lifting up a mountain, etc. All these things have to be there. Not a real mountain, but at least building the bridge, going over the bridge, destroying Sri Lanka, fighting with Ravana. All those pastimes should be there when Rama appears. Or when Krishna appears, then he should also carry out the activities of Krishna, not just claim that he is Krishna, hold a flute in his mouth or whatever. So everything is very particular, and though the Lord can do anything he wants and make any form he wants or manifest any form, the general sequence is there throughout the day of Brahma, and it's repeated every day of Brahma's life in all the different universes. So we don't have to imagine anything, really. We simply take those forms which are in the scripture. So, in this way, we understand that the avatars come at certain times. They stay for some time, and then they disappear. So they're not there forever. They are there for some time. Some stay for longer periods, some stay for shorter periods. Some may stay a few days, some may stay a few weeks, some may stay a few years, some may stay 100 years or whatever. Some may stay longer than that, 1,000 years or whatever. And according to the nature of the activities of that particular avatar, they will manifest and then disappear. So Rishabhadev, of course, is a appears as like a human being, and then he becomes like a sage. Even though he is a king, comes from a king's family, in his main activities he behaves like a sage and goes to the forest and does extreme austerities. So we will not expect to see great shows of power as we see in the case of Ramchandra or others. Instead, he acts like a sage and displays renunciation and complete detachment, complete sense control, etc. These are the qualities that he displays in this particular avatar. So the amount of quality shown in a person like Rishabha is not to the same degree that we'll see in Matsya Kaurama Vara or Narsimhadeva or Ramchandra. It is significantly less, because his role is much different. Nevertheless, he is glorified because he is the Supreme Lord and he has got an eternal form. So throughout the Bhagavatam we'll see different appearances of the Supreme Lord. Some of them are like this. They are sages or whatever, like Kapila. And others show extraordinary pastimes like Varaha or Narsimha. Nevertheless, we have to accept them all as forms of the Supreme Lord, and therefore they are Bhagavan. Therefore it says here, the Bhagavan Lakshana, we have the qualities or the characteristics of Bhagavan. We're not imagining the characteristics, they're actual characteristics. Therefore he was worshipped and praised by the Brahmanas and the Devatas, ministers and everybody else. And they wanted to take him as the ruler of the earth. So this is his appearance of the Lord is the mercy of the Lord also. He appears at certain times in the day of Brahma, certainly. But he does this out of mercy to the jivas. When he feels that the jivas need particular teachings, then he comes and he reveals those teachings to inspire people. So though we do not follow the conduct of Rishabhadev, that is not our yuga dharma to go off into the forest and do extreme austerities, that's not the yuga dharma. Still, we learn from this that control of the senses is very necessary for the human being, and that Maya is very, very strong, and therefore we have to be very, very careful of the influence of the material world. So we see in the later pastimes, Rishabhadev, after he ruled the kingdom, then he went to the forest, and he was completely detached from everything. He didn't care for or the weather, or food, or other human beings, or any aspect of the material world at all. We can completely detach from everything and act it almost like in the same case as, say, Janvara or one person like that, act in a very similar way by completely becoming detached from everything in the material world. So by this he shows the danger of material attachment and how it can lead us into many problems. On the other hand, we also know that detachment is not the real goal of the devotee. The real goal of the devotee is attachment to the Supreme Lord. So attachment to the Supreme Lord, of course, is a much higher principle and a stronger principle. So this is what we emphasize in bhakti. But by doing so, then we also automatically become completely disinterested in the material world, the material body, and all of its needs, etc. So what Rishabhadev teaches finally is this complete renunciation, which is an aspect of spiritual life. At the same time, it's not the ultimate aspect. So in this way, we find that the avatars also do not necessarily always teach the highest aspects. So they may teach many things. So Kapila Dev teaches karma and jnana and yoga and bhakti. And Hamsa teaches jnana and bhakti also. So we find various avatars who teach many things or a particular subject. And they may not even teach the final thing so prominently, that is bhakti. Nevertheless, they come at certain times because it is necessary to teach these things. So in this case, Vrishabha teaches this extreme renunciation as one of the processes. Well, of course, but we have to understand that he appeared in Swayambhuva Mandanara, which is many, 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 many millions of years ago. probably a billion years ago, even, I don't know. Very, very long, long ago, his actual appearance, if you take the Bhagavatam chronology, is correct. You see, appeared in Swayambhuva Manvantara reign, as at the same as Swayambhuva Manvantara. And we're in the seventh Manvantara reign now. So that is a long period of time. 71 Yuga cycles times 7. So that is a long, long period of time.
There's some incarnation there. If you go from the zero degree temple, like Ram, Krishna, and Narsimha.
Huh?
The effective avatars, they don't have any temples, at least in India.
Yeah, generally they don't. Of course, there's probably a Parsaram temple somewhere in Kerala. I think there is somewhere like that. We don't find many Matsya temples. There is one in Trivandrum, and I think there's a Kurma temple in Srikakulam in upper Andhra Pradesh near the border with Orissa. So some of the avatars have less worship than others, definitely. Or Mohini avatar, I don't think we have a temple for her. Also, Kapila, I think there's a temple down in the Ganga Sagar down that side. So some of the avatars, the lesser ones, of course, they display less powers, not so well known, and they have obviously less worship. And those who have show more qualities and more strength, etc., they generally get worship more.
When it is said that King Navi was the king of the world, what is the jurisdiction of the world?
How?
What world?
Well, it is said that his father gave the different dvipas to his different sons. So Navi got the central Jambudvip area, and then the other sons got the other islands, the seven islands. So they got the other islands out there. So he ruled the central portion where we have Varsha and the other Varshas, nine Varshas are there.
Kings like Devata are internally responsible, externally they are capable of enjoying. On the other hand, Vishwakarta, Subhadri, so many of austerities and answer, even a slight intervention of the Kalpa Kali.
Well, that is because these sages, many of them, are not devotees of the Lord. They are doing austerities, and even in austerities they do because they want some particular powers. So they're not definitely not devotees of the Lord in the true sense. They may have some respect for the Lord, but at the same time, they don't practice bhakti as their major sadhana, so therefore they can be easily misguided or tempted from the path. So that is the case of jnanis and yogis particularly. In the case of Priyavrata and the great kings following in the descent of someone, they're actually considered vibhutis of the Lord, so they actually get some very special position by the mercy of the Lord. It's a special blessing, so they do have rather higher positions in relation to carrying out the Lord's orders, etc.
Another answer,
he started out as an Atmarama. So the Atmarama verse in the first canto of Bhagavata, which describes how even the Atmaramas become attracted to the pastimes of qualities of Krishna. So that is illustrated by Sukadeva, who was a Atmarama in the womb when he came out. But then, by the grace of Vyasadeva and his disciples and the Supreme Lord, then he heard the Bhagavata, and then he became attracted to Krishna. So he changed from impersonal to personal.
I'm hearing you saying the same, you've got two, three avatars to be the same manifestation.
Yeah, they may appear somewhere and may appear at the same time, even as in the case also of when Kurma appeared, then we have Ajita also as an avatar appearing. We have in relation to the Dhanvantari also appearing from the ocean, giving medicine. We have Mohini avatar appearing also at this time. So we have several of the Lords, maybe three or four of them appearing at that one particular point. So yes, sometimes many of them appear at the same time, sometimes only one will appear, as in the case, let's say, Narasimha Devi appears by himself, whatever. In the case of Krishna, we have Balaram also appearing, and at the same time we have Vyasadeva there. So it depends on the particular pastimes of that particular avatar.
You mentioned it should be the eternal form.
Yeah, all the forms. All the forms of the Lord are eternal.
Yeah.
And even the Shaktivesha avatars are eternal. So Narada Muni is eternal. He's in the spiritual world also. Parasaram is in the spiritual world also. Yeah, it's not mentioned, but apparently they must have their own places. Maybe the Shaktivesha avatars don't because they're actually jivas, so they probably stay with another form of the Lord, an actual form of the Lord. Definitely all the elements of Matsya, Kurma, etc. Even in the material world, it's described in Lagva Bhagavatamrita that they do have their places. So there's Matsya that's still residing someplace in the material universe. He has his own place there, and whatever. Kurma, etc., they all have their particular places in the material world, which are, you say, spiritual. And of course, then they have their places in the spiritual world as well.
They have inhabitants that they look like Kurma or they
have nominal? It doesn't say what the inhabitants look like, whether they attain exactly the same form or whether they have human-like forms. I would imagine that they would have human-like forms in that case to worship those particular forms. But it's not said anywhere exactly what form they take. But we do know that if you worship four-arm form of Vishnu, you get a four-arm form. So if you worship Narasimhadeva, I don't know whether you get a lion-like form or not, but it's not said anywhere. But we know that Lakshmi obviously has got a lion-like form, so probably other devotees don't either. It's not mentioned when Parikshit heard from Sukadeva.
Yeah.
When Parikshit heard from Sukadeva?
Yeah.
That's not mentioned anywhere. Possibly.
Huh?
Doesn't mention that possibly they could, since they're devatas and they could hear whatever. Yeah, in most cases, in some avatars, of course, there's no Lakshmi there, as in the case like Narayan, there's no Lakshmi there, but what the Varaha has, Bhudevi is a mention of Lakshmi, etc., and the other forms usually have a Lakshmi form. Narsimhadeva has Lakshmi there, etc. Ramchandra has Sita. Depends on the pastimes.
Vamos a ver el sonido. அந்த மாதிரி எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் யாரும் வரக்கூடாது. எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ்னா ஒரே எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸாக இருக்கும் கிருஷ்ணாவோட அரேஞ்ச்மெண்ட்டு. மாதாஜி தேங்க்ஸ் 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 தேங்க்ஸ், உங்களோட பிளெஸிங்ஸ் கண்டிப்பாக வேணும் மாதாஜி. ஸோ இப்போ கிருஷ்ணாவோட அரேஞ்ச்மெண்ட் பானு மகாராஜ் பிளெஸிங்ஸ், மாதாஜி பிளெஸிங்ஸ், பிரபு பிளெஸிங்ஸ். வடப்பள்ளி பக்கத்தில் ஒரு சிவசக்தி ஆலயம்னு சொல்லிட்டு அங்கே தான் வந்து ஃபைனலாக பாசிபிலிட்டி இருந்தது. அம்மா வேறு எங்கேயுமே வந்து இவ்வளோ ஷார்ட் நோட்டீஸில் பண்ண முடியாது அப்படின்ட்டு. ஸோ அங்கேயே சர்டிஃபிகேட்லாம் கொடுக்குறாங்க. ஸோ அதை பேஸ் பண்ணி இப்போ ரேஷோ பண்ணிக்கலாம் அப்படின்ட்டு. பிளஸிங்ஸ் வேணும் மாத்தீங்க கண்டிப்பாக. 3-4 நாளைக்கு மகாராஜ் கொடுத்த டேட் சனிக்கலாம் மகாராஜ். Thanks, man.